B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Maz.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's hour three, Felger and Maz here, presented by DraftKings, Wednesday, February 19th, from our Town Fair Tire Studios. Maz likes Brady in Vegas. Why? Give me one reason why.
Okay, so I got this email last night from a listener whose name is John, and I'll read you the email because it's short. Maz, what's the fastest way to promote TB12? Keynote speaker conferences in Vegas. Pay up to $30,000 at a time. Promote your brand, play in Vegas. Hawk some nuts at corporate conferences and sell your brand while making $30,000 a speaking event. He's going to Vegas. Adobe Summit Conference is stop number one. Okay, and then I thought about this, and I Googled it. Most popular convention city in America, Vegas. So if you're Brady, and like I've been looking at this all wrong, I say you go to Southern California, you launch TB12 out there, or you go to Miami, you launch TB12 out there. Why not go to Vegas? And every conference that comes in there, you go and speak at to promote the merits of TB12, and this gets back to that story that you have read from over the years with him and, you know, the white robes and promoting the TB12 lifestyle and a cleaner life, a better life, Tony Robbins, the whole nine yards. A, he'll get paid for the speaking engagements. B, he'll be promoting his own brand. And then he walks out, gets in his car, and drives to practice. Like, it makes too much sense.
Makes all the sense in the world. When you put this in the email chain, I was like, oh, this is a perfect business idea for him, because he has surrounded himself with the pitchman weirdos like Tony Robbins in the past, and now as a Vegas Raider, he'll be in the hotbed of that kind of commerce, like the emailer said. So it works for him both on and off the field.
I mean, why go to the places where you can promote and launch TB12 when they can come to you?
Right.
And the whole idea is similar to what his free agent tour, quote unquote, may be like. I'm not making trips. They're coming to me. And maybe Brady's at that stage now, he's going to start throwing his weight around and says, no, 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 they're going to come to me. Like, I always call it the Ferris wheel theory. You stand in one spot and everyone else comes through. And you know what? In Vegas would be perfect for that. You got new people, new customers coming in every week.
Oh, it's so cheesy.
Oh, but that's him.
He's a conventioneer in Vegas. He's like a Vegas conventioneer. Come to my stand.
You don't believe it?
Right. Off the field. Look what he's turned himself into, Mike.
Yeah, I know. No. I mean, I believe everything. Right, I think everything has a chance to be right. So I poo poo nothing. I'm just telling you, it's cheesy, man.
And then not only that,
like Vegas, like he's taking up a residency.
They pay you to go speak there.
He's like Vegas conventions.
They pay you to give the sales pitch.
I'm not putting it past him, man. I mean,
look at half the crap he sells on his website.
He just sold an internet streaming service as part of his announcement to come back and play. Like, I mean, that's what that was at the Super Bowl. That's what that was. I'm not going anywhere. I think you should hear it first. Hulu streams live sports. Hey, like that's what it is. I mean, if he's going to do that, yes, I guess he'd stand up with Tony Robbins in front of a group of conventioneers in Vegas. Oh, but that's so cheesy. It's so beneath him, just like the Hulu thing's beneath him. But he did it. I mean, you're right.
Walk on hot coals with Tom Brady.
I mean, I keep coming back to the, you know, we think of it in football terms. Where's the best place to win? He'll win here. He's got Belichick. Brady's not just thinking about one year. Brady's thinking about his next move. What am I going to do when this ends? Because I've only got a couple of years left here anyway. I want to play till I'm 45. I'm going to be 43. So I'm going to make some big decision based on what's happening in 2 years when I still have half of my life in front of me? No way. Like, I do think the off-field stuff is playing a huge component in this. And if he wants to move on to TB12 and lifestyle and become a Tony Robbins type, you know, preaching the benefits of the TB12 method, I want to tell people what Alex Guerrero has taught me. How many times has he said that? I want to teach people what he has taught me. Vegas. Vegas is the perfect spot.
I'm not shooting it down. I'm just telling you.
No,
boy,
it's
cheesy.
But when I read it in the email, I looked at it and I said, so I thought, okay, but I think Orlando's the biggest convention city. And then I looked at it and I said, the most popular convention city in America is Vegas.
Yeah, but it's the same difference. You're talking to fat, out-of-town conventioners from Topeka. Ugh. Ugh. Really? Yeah, with Tony Robbins.
And those out-of-towners from Topeka are into it because they think they might have a chance to take a selfie with Tom Brady. I got my photo, Martha.
Seriously. And on the top of that, they say, we'll pay you $30,000 to come in and give your pitch. Like, not that he needs the $30,000, but if you're looking to maximize the whole thing, I don't know. I think there's something there with that. I read that and I went, holy crap, I didn't even think of that.
And further proof how much the business means to him today on his Instagram story a few hours before the show started. It was all about, you know, come check out the failing location on Boylston Street.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah.
Does a location work in Vegas? Probably.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
I mean, better than Boylston Street.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of money in Vegas.
Yes, and people who...
And a lot of people on the street, too.
But maybe kind of want to sort of be in shape as opposed to here, where we've just all let it go. I mean, I don't know. It ain't going to work here, that I can tell you.
But it is true. Everybody goes through Vegas at some point. And again, if you're Brady and you want to play football and promote at the same time, Vegas is probably the spot.
For people that work in the city, your entertainers, you know, like that's, you know, there's, I think you could get clients there. Image matters.
So I think the biggest draw is going to be Gruden. And I think this is a component that's important that not enough people look at, and that is sort of who's the point person selling you on the location. And this is why Peyton Manning went to Denver, because John Elway was there.
Sure.
And he believed in Elway, and he was right, you know, for that time. It was the right time to go there, and so he bought into Elway and everything that he, you know, was selling him. Here, I think this is going to be an important piece. Like, who are they, who's pitching him? Vrabel in Tennessee? That's good. Like, that's a real big selling point for Tennessee. And I think Gruden in Vegas, because Brady's a star bleeper, and I think that Gruden in Vegas, it's not Mark Davis, and yes, it might be a good place for the business, etc., and boy, he's going to look hot in that silver and black, but it's going to be Gruden. It's going to be Gruden's personal pitch, what you and I can do together. And I ain't going to treat you like gloom back there in New England. You know, it's going to be your offense, and I'm not convinced it can work because Gruden's going to have to learn Brady's offense, not the other way around. But he's going to sell him on it. So, like, I think that's the biggest sell that Vegas has for
Definitely,
Brady.
If they had some crap coach, he wouldn't consider it.
I mean, when he goes to the Chargers, who's selling?
Yeah, right.
The Lucky Sperm Spanos kids or freaking Lynn, Anthony Lynn, or who? Like, what? Who's selling him? And even, you know, Miami to some degree. I guess he's got a relationship with Stephen Ross, but I don't know. He might be selling the team soon. It might not even be his team. And Brian Flores, I mean, they're a little something there. But who's pitching you?
No, Gruden's got juice.
Yeah, juice. No question he's got juice. That, to me, is the selling point for
Gruden.
Because
say what you want about Gruden, but there is sort of a magnetism to him.
Definitely.
Where he sits and says, I'm sitting here with Tom Brady. Right? Like, Tom Brady. And you can see Brady eating that up.
Right.
Like, totally. I mean,
because the coach is a little bit in awe of me. This is what I've wanted, just a little bit of respect from my coach over the recent years.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Purely for entertainment purposes, like, those two would be fun to watch together. I mean, that would be fun.
So, there's your thought. Brady to the Raiders. Kyle in Stoneham, your thoughts. Lead us off this hour. Go.
Oh, yeah. Vegas is a perfect place where I would love to go and listen about living a healthy and clean lifestyle. You guys are totally right. How could I have not thought of that? Hey, Mez, you want to go to hell? I know a lot of people that are looking to buy Bibles there. Jeez, what is up with that? Come on, Brady's holding out because he wants weapons. He knows if he signs now, Patriots aren't going to be hard-pressed to go out and get the weapons he needs. And Felger, don't give me that. They can't rebuild while Brady's there. All they got to do is draft somebody. They got to draft somebody. Stidham's not the kid. And don't tell me Andy Dalton's good for you in 10 years. You guys are such phonies. And fence riders, I'm sick of it. I'm a name.
It's a name
with all this thing.
I want Brady gone. How's that riding the fence?
You're a little bit of a fence rider.
Well, no, I mean, yes, a facilitator, I prefer. But I'm not riding the fence on this one. I want them to turn the page. I've been saying that for a while. And Andy Dalton's not your quarterback in 10 years. That's not the point. He gets you to the next thing. And in the interim, he pisses you off. That's what I'm looking for. Andy Dalton. And then Belichick goes out and wins the division with Andy Dalton. Ooh, that's good. That's good. Good for business, short term, but it's all just a transition to get to the next guy, whoever that happens to be. I hope it's Stidham. Like that would be the best case scenario, that they just go to Jared Stidham. But in the interim, Andy Dalton is just good from the pure shock and awe of it for Patriots Nation. We go from Tom Brady to Andy Dalton. Are you kidding me? That's your plan, Bill? Ugh. And then he wins the division with it? Like, ew, I'm looking forward to that. Let's go to Vegas to lead a clean and healthy lifestyle. That's a good point.
No, if they were to, you might as well go to the Saints. You have a hell of a time in New Orleans, too, while he's down there. Another convention city. I just thought the email made some good points. Like, because Brady believes that people will buy the crap that he's selling.
But the cost is all he needs is a good draft pick. Brady doesn't trust draft picks. They drafted a receiver in the first round this year, and he hates the kid. So, and I'm being, you know, overstating that just a little bit, but for all intents and purposes, he wasn't into him. So what, like, I don't think Brady's going to trust a draft pick. Brady wants known name guys. That's what Brady demands now. And so I don't think draft picks do it. No, they're going to have to go out and spend or trade or, you know, that's what they're going to have to do to make him happy.
And last year it did seem worse. And maybe it's because Brady knew I'm out of here at the end of the year and I'm not grooming someone I'm not going to be here for in 2020. So, like, I wonder if they, and I know you said that during the season, and Murray may have mentioned it too. There might be merit to that. That part of the reason he got frustrated is because he's like, I'm out of here. I'm not holding this kid's hand.
Brendan in the car. Go ahead, Brendan.
Real quick, Maz, I saw you at Duncan and Natick last week. I appreciate you saying what's up. But my point is, I want to compare the Brady situation to Kobe Bryant's situation at the end of his career. I don't know the years and numbers he got at the end, but the Lakers went overboard basically just to make sure he stayed a Laker for life. And I'm sure, you know, it's obviously worth it now, but they struggled for the last couple of years he was there because he was broken down and old. And then they struggled for years after he left, too.
Great point.
And the only reason they're back is because LeBron showed up and it's basketball, but that's not happening here. So
this is a nice point. It's not apples to apples because the economics are different. But did they load up on Kobe? Was that like the Dwight Howard team, or was that the Karl Malone? You know, I'm getting them all mixed up.
I mean, his last deal was 3 years, $90 million.
And what? But who else was on the team at the end?
2013-14.
I think they did bring in Dwight Howard. That sounds right.
Was it the Dwight Howard year?
Like, yeah, that sounds right.
One kind of year at the end where I do remember they kind of quote unquote loaded up.
Yeah. No, that sounds right. And so look.
Yeah. So that was like Bryant, Artest, Gasol. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just, I just think it's going to get worse here, not better. And so to me, it would benefit all of them to just break apart, move on. Because you bring him back, now you got to spend on pieces around him. And then if it doesn't work, now you're really screwed. Now you're married to, you know, now you got all kinds of dead money on the cap, if you're going to believe in that, or money committed. And I just think it can only get worse. I don't think it's going to get better. You might squeeze another title out of it, but you'll really pork yourself in the long term.
But again, I think, you know, they're better next year with Brady. If you're just worried about next year, then yeah, Brady's the call. That's right. But I'm not. I'm worried about the next 10 over the next one. And, so that's that. We continue with your thoughts. Brady watch. Well, we can circle back to the baseball stuff as well, which we began the program with. Your number is 617-779-0985.
Boston's home for sports. Failure and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felder and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
Do you like, love, or hate Brady with the Raiders and their new digs?
I hate it personally. It doesn't work for me. I don't necessarily dislike what he and Mike Mayock are doing, but I think it needs a lot more than people realize at times. And I just don't think that's the situation that the 42-year-old Tom Brady needs to be walking in. If Tom Brady is going to leave the New England Patriots, he needs to leave for an organization, a franchise, a team that says we have everything else but this. And you are that missing piece. It can't be, well, we've got a multitude of pieces that are missing, but you're going to do so much to help us. Nah, that is not the situation that he belongs in. I don't think the Las Vegas Raiders are the team that he should be thinking about. I don't like it at all.
Stephen A., not a fan of Brady to Vegas. Paul in Maine, your thoughts?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, guys, Mav, I thought you absolutely nailed it earlier that it would be financially irresponsible for the Pats to pay Brady and meanwhile neglect the other needs on an aging team. I mean, moving forward, Brady will be gone from this team at some point, one way or the other. In the meantime, we can get away with paying Stidham $18 an hour, save $20 million, and reload to spend for the future.
I mean, they're going to have to do it eventually. And Maz's point is Brady's going to demand weapons around him and named weapons. He's not just going to take draft picks. So you're going to have to spend to bring Brady back and spend to make him happy with some named guys.
Correct.
And that's like, well, that sort of runs counter to your whole philosophy of the whole thing.
Absolutely. Like, so, you know, not to mention the fact that, you know, then the tail's wagging the dog, so to speak, right? You're giving a player power. And it just, it gives him, it makes him too powerful. It really does. Like, so all of a sudden you're going to bring Brady back. You're going to extend money for more old guys for what? 2 years tops? Three in theory? Like, is it, what's it going to look like in year three? What's Brady going to be when he's 45? So, and again, I told you a long time ago, I thought Brady was going to start aging, but you know, it just at some point doesn't become smart. It becomes stupid.
Tony in East Brookfield. Hi, Tony.
Hi, I've been listening to you guys, and I do quite often, and I want you to know that sometimes beating the drum and beating the dead horse on Brady, I wish that, not you guys personally, but I wish we could all stop talking about Brady because it gives him a forum, and you know personally, or whether you show your feelings or not, that Brady is not going to be right for the team. It's like when Willie Mays played baseball, and he eventually left his team, okay? Everybody can leave or do anything they want. We got a lot of mileage out of the Chevy, and we traded it in for, you know, a new hybrid or something. We don't need to bring Brady back, and Belichick is the man, and Kraft is not going to override him. So all these, we love you guys. It's hilarious.
Okay, well, let's see. Let's see if that last part's true, that Kraft is not going to override Bill Belichick. I'm not convinced of that yet.
Yeah, well, sir, I was just going to say, most of what he said I thought was generally right, except for that part. Like, Kraft will absolutely overrule Belichick again. He absolutely will. And so I just hope that he learned from it, and I say his mistake. And maybe it wasn't even a mistake. But I think the whole Garoppolo experience did give him pause, and he said, did I make the right move? And if he questions it, that might be enough to let Brady walk out the door this time.
Steven Brighton, hi. Steven, call us back. You know the number. John's in Franklin. Hi, John.
So happy you're talking about this today. I wanted to talk about Brady kind of the day after the Pats lost to the Titans. And I really started to agree with you guys when you were like, you know, it's not good for the team to have him back. And here's what I want to say. I am just so sick of the self-entitled Patriots fans here. Do you realize how stupid this run has been, winning six Super Bowls and just all the success we've had? And to me, and Felger, I've heard you talk about this before, you have to come to a point where you finally reset the situation, okay? And I look at two franchises, the Steelers and Ravens, and they've been extremely successful over the last 20 years. Obviously, haven't won as many Super Bowls as the Pats, but they've reset it, you know? And I think that's kind of what the Pats have to do. And again, I'm not saying that we got to go 2-14 and tank it, but like having, like, I'm just fed up with Brady and his diva, you know, mentality. Like he, you know, between having his own reporter and Jim Gray, they share a sleeping bag together. And, you know, it's just enough with him, man. We've won enough. We have squeezed as much juice out of that lemon as possible. Let's move on. Let's fill some other needs and not pin our hopes on a 43-year-old quarterback.
Okay, John, thanks for the call. Surprising number of fans who feel that way.
I mean,
that we hear from.
This past season helped with that.
That's what it was for me. That was the tipping point, was this past season. 12-4. It was a hollow 12-4. Defense wasn't that good, and Brady was miserable from the rip. Or but, once he lost Antonio Brown.
What frustrates me about Patriots fans is, you know, he says Steelers and Ravens, and I know that there are millions of Patriots fans out there who go, no, oh, the Steelers suck. Oh, Tomlin sucks. Rapelsberger, he sucks. The Ravens, they suck. John Harbaugh hasn't won anything. He sucks. They suck. Meanwhile, like, they're generally competitive year in, year out, good NFL teams that give you your money's worth more often than not. If you cycle into the next thing and you are the Steelers, thank your lucky stars that you suck as bad as the Steelers. That you contend most every year, you win a Super Bowl every so often, you're viable, you're popular, you're a compelling team, and, you know, same with the Ravens.
Ravens just found their quarterback of the future.
But, I mean, thank your lucky stars if you become one of those teams versus what the 49ers became, you know, after it all blew apart after Steve Young or, you know, some of these other teams. Thank your lucky stars if you suck as bad as you think the Steelers do or the Ravens do. But that's, like, that's the part I think is going to be the coldest reality. Like, you know, just on the next quarterback. I mean, Andy Dalton really does suck, so that's, like, not a good example. But I don't want Matt Stafford. He sucks. He sucks. You know, every quarterback sucks.
I'll tell you what I've talked myself into overnight. Did you see Phil Perry's talk of them trying to move up to get Tua if he happens to drop to around, like, 7 to 10?
So move up all the way from, what are they, 23?
Yeah.
23 to 7 to 10?
Yeah, kind of like how the Kansas City Chiefs did to go up to 10 to get Patrick Mahomes a few years ago.
Wow.
I would do it.
That's what Phil Perry's saying?
Yep.
I don't know if I feel that good about Tua.
Me neither.
I sort of, I mean, like,
prior to the hip injury, he was going to be the number one pick in the draft.
How are they going
to
get up there and do that? They don't have a second.
They have a bunch of thirds.
And they have to give up future first.
Ugh.
They have to give up future first.
Not for Tua. I wouldn't do it.
I feel good about Tua if he drops to me. And
yeah,
like
23.
You know, I see something no one else sees, and there's, you know, I hate to use a value word, but to actually then go all in and put more chips on the table to go up and get him.
You just reminded me. Did you see who Kuiper had them picking?
Yeah, some, is it Herbert?
No, Jacob Eason, I believe it was.
You know who Jacob Eason is?
Don't tell me.
Uh-huh.
He's Champagne Tony Eason's grandkid? How old is he?
Fifi's son.
Fifi?
Tony Eason. I used to call him Fifi.
Fifi.
Fifi's son. The quarterback that John Hanna said should be back there wearing a skirt.
You got it.
Because he's looking at the rush and not looking at the receivers. Tony Eason's son, Mel Kiper, has the Patriots taking him in the first round. Fifi Jr. Good luck with that one.
Mark and Medford, two of the baseball thing that we started the show with. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
Good.
Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that what the Astros did is worse than getting popped for PEDs?
It's a good question. I do.
Okay. Well, my question is, if Manfred does not suspend the participants in this, that includes the players, what is he going to do when someone pops positive? Is he going to suspend them for 50 games? Because I believe that is not as bad as what the Houston Astros did.
Okay, here's the problem, Mark. It's not up to him. Those things are collectively bargained. He couldn't suspend anyone for the steroid stuff, or C-League couldn't, or anyone couldn't, until the a-hole players agreed to testing. And then they could suspend him. Is there anything on the books for suspending players for something like this? Maybe it would have to be a reach, but it would be a massive grievance. And this is why I have zero sympathy for the players who are crying like stuck pigs right now about cheating and Manfred and the medal trophy and all of this. For Manfred to really have gone after the players, the players' union would have to accept it.
Yeah.
Do you think they would?
Well, and the big loophole in this case was that when Manfred circulated the memo to teams to tell them to cut the crap, the message wasn't relayed to the players in Houston.
Well, also, he said, I'm going to hold managers and GMs responsible.
Correct.
Because he knows he can't just unilaterally say, I'm going to suspend players for this.
Correct.
When it's not collectively bargained.
Correct.
And it's not collectively bargained because anytime baseball tries to do anything, the players circle the wagon in their union and say no. It took Congress to get involved for them to agree to steroid testing. But now these players are carrying on like, you cheated me on this and you cheated me on that, and shame on Rob Manfred for calling it a medal trophy. Well, if Rob Manfred tried to do something to the players, what do you think Tony Clark and the union would do? Fight it tooth and nail. It's not collectively bargained,
and
Rob.
And they'd win.
Probably so.
And they'd win. Now, I still don't think that excuses Manfred from trying to discipline them. So if they want to grieve it, let them grieve it. Fine, grieve it. Go ahead. I'm still going to do it. Just to make a point. And if the owners had any real balls, and it borders on stupid, they'd lock the players out and say, until we get speed up rules and we get real change in the game, there is no baseball. If they'll never do it in a million years because there's too much money at stake.
We'll reset the baseball thing coming up next. A lot of great sound out there. Oh, my God. People are players pitching a fit against each other, calling each other cheaters, calling each saying you cheated me out of championships, you cheated me out of MVPs, them crying. Oh, holy, just crying like stuck pigs over Rob Manfred making a comment about a medal trophy. And it's all enough to I have zero sympathy for the players. Zero. And I'll tell you why right after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's damaging to baseball. You know, it's anger. I feel like every single guy over there needs a beating. You know, it's wrong. They're messing with people's careers. You know, I know we're all competitive and we're out there competing, but there's right ways to do it and wrong ways to do it. And I 100% disagree with the way they did it.
That's Nick Markakis yesterday. Everyone on the Astros deserves a beating. I mean, what a line.
Yep.
Everyone on the Astros deserves a beating. You know, and there's more, Jimmy, actually. And by the way, we're going to give you an update on the next Patriots quarterback and his heritage. We may have misspoken before.
Not we, I.
It's okay. Jimmy, give me Cody Bellinger on Altuve stealing the MVP.
I thought the apologies were whatever. I thought Jim Crane's was weak. I thought Manfred's punishment was weak, giving him immunity. I mean, these guys were cheating for 3 years. You know, I think what people don't realize is Altuve stole an MVP from Judge in 17. Everyone knows they stole the ring from us.
Okay.
Good God.
Cody Bellinger saying we got stolen out of championships. He mentions Aaron Judge losing an MVP to Altuve. Aaron Judge was asked, should the Astros have their championship stripped?
Do you think the Astros should be stripped of their 2017 championship?
Yeah, I just don't think it holds any value. You know, you cheated and you didn't earn it. You know, that's how I feel, is it wasn't earned. You know, it wasn't earned the way of, you know, playing the game right and fighting till the end and knowing that, you know, we're competing. We're competitors. And the biggest thing about competition is laying it all out on the line and, you know, whoever's the better player, better person, you know, comes out on top, you know, and, you know, you just lay it out there and, you know, to know that another team had an advantage that, you know, nothing you can really guard against, that I just don't feel like that's earned or, you know, yeah, it's not earned.
Okay, I have a problem with this. Now it's an excuse for losing. I was like, this is why you lost? This is why the Dodgers have not won a World Series in how many years, despite having the best team in baseball for the last decade? Boy, that's a convenient excuse. You now got your get-out-of-jail-free card, don't you, Cody Bellinger?
31 years.
Now, it couldn't be that you just have trouble coming through in the big moments out there, could it? Oh, no, you were cheated out of it. Oh, so, well, now you've got your ready-made excuse. And Aaron Judge got cheated out of a championship. What was Carlos Beltran doing for the Yankees last year? Special assistant,
right?
Well, he was doing in the dugout, Mike, according to what a previous caller told us.
So what? So like, I don't want to hear from the Yankees either. You just had Carlos Beltran there. What do you think he was doing? I have a pretty good idea. I listened to Alex Cora in London last year. He knew exactly what Carlos Beltran was doing. So cut the crap on that. So like, that bothers me. Now you have a ready-made excuse for your losing. No. Even Carlos Carrera, who had a nice retort to Cody Bellinger and the Dodgers in a conversation with Ken Rosenthal. Go ahead and play that, Jimmy.
What doesn't sit well with me is when you say false statements. If you don't know the facts, if you're not informed, This is America, Ken. You can say whatever you want. You can say whatever you want. But Cody Bellinger's job is to look for information, get informed, know the facts for sure before he stands in front of cameras to talk about other players. You should get informed. You should be informed before you talk about other players. If you don't know the facts, then you got to shut the
Okay, so this is a great offseason for baseball where you got guys like Nick Markakis saying everyone over there deserves a beating, and then players on that team saying if you don't know the facts, shut the F up. So this is getting good. Hopefully it carries on to the field, hopefully. But on Carlos Carrera, as you mentioned earlier, dude, you don't want us to have all the facts because every fact that comes out about you guys makes you look worse.
Like, I mean,
what do you mean have all the facts? You're cheating your faces off.
Seriously, talk about ass backwards. The guy whose team cheated is saying to the guy who opened his mouth, you shouldn't talk because you don't know what happened. Like, your level of integrity is really low. What? Like, you've got to be kidding me. He's all of a sudden going to chastise people after his team's been pounded on a trash can for 3 years or however long it was?
I would just keep your mouth shut, right, pal.
Seriously, shut the hell up. You don't have a leg to stand on, pal.
Go get your facts.
Really?
Yeah, no, we got them, all right.
Shut up!
But between the Dodgers and Yankees, it's starting to get a little obnoxious. I can understand why players are mad and they feel ripped off. But like you said, it's an easy excuse. And the Yankees were up to no good last year. And the Dodgers are perpetual losers. So shut the hell up.
I think they all look like a bunch of whiny little bitches.
Oh, the worst.
Seriously.
Zero sympathy. Especially now this last thing where Rob Manfred unfortunately said the other day about the commissioner's trophy, it's just a piece of metal. Which... he probably shouldn't say when it's called the commissioner's trophy, like, I get it. But the caterwauling from the players, like, oh my God, the crying, you don't know what it's like to compete for that. Zero sympathy for you. If the trophy meant so much, how come it took an act of Congress for you to allow steroid testing? How come it took years and years and years for you to agree to just to the most rudimentary PED testing? If the trophy meant so much to you and the integrity of that championship meant so much to you, why did you fight steroid testing so hard for so long? Zero sympathy. And let me tell you, if the commissioner really tried to clean this up and institute tough penalties for sign stealing and electronic sign stealing, and he started suspending you guys, what would you do? You would go to the union, you would file grievances, and they would have to rescind the suspensions, and Manfred wouldn't be able to do anything because you wouldn't take it. You'd grieve it, and you'd make it be collectively bargained. And you would, as like everything else, deny it and not allow it to go through. You, players, are the reason the game sucks now because you won't throw the baseball or swing the bat. And yet, anytime Major League Baseball tries to speed the game up, pitch clocks, any of these other rules, you fight it. You fight it and you vote it down. So I have zero sympathy for you on anything because you've ruined the game with the way you play it and your obstinance in terms of pace of play. So I have zero sympathy for you, but especially on this. The integrity of that trophy? Why does every pitcher go to his wrist before he throws a baseball? Everyone's loading up something on the mound. And you're telling me the Astros are the only team that steals signs? Most teams are up to something, and you know it.
I mean, who did more to diminish the 2017 World Series? The commissioner with this comment or the Astros by banging on the trash can?
I mean, my God.
Like, really, it is. It's ridiculous.
So his comment, I understand where he's coming from. It's like people wanted him to vacate the championship for the Astros. And he said, well, what good is that? You just take away the piece of metal. They still won the thing. Like, I get what he's saying. He should have said it. He went a little far. He apologized. But the players carrying on, like, if you're so concerned about the integrity of the championship, why don't you agree to some of these measures to clean up the game or speed up the game? Oh, I see. Because you're just worried about your individual number and your individual money is the reason.
I mean, go ahead. Sorry.
And your union for years has stood in the way of any advancement in the game. So I have zero sympathy for you. Zero.
Believe me when I tell you, the game is eating itself from within. They are eating themselves from the inside. There's like this little alien inside the stomach of baseball chewing away at every organ with every passing year. And pretty soon, I'm going to be laughing my ass off when it falls on the ground and has eaten itself to death. I don't know how you root for the. I don't hear root for anybody in the game anymore. You look at the commissioner and say you keep telling us about the speed up rules, but you never actually put your hammer down on them. I mean, okay, finally we get three batter minimums. Great. When are we getting the pitch clock? When is there actually going to be some discipline for that? When are we getting that? Because we're not getting that anytime soon. The owners keep raking in the money. Incredibly, they keep getting these incredible TV deals, despite the fact that I'd rather watch my grass grow most nights than actually watch baseball, which is pathetic. And the players, well, they can, you know, the game's got history. Don't tell us how to play. Go F yourself. Like, really.
Totally.
It's there's reason to just despise how the game is being run.
Go F yourself. So he called it a piece of metal. So what? Maybe I'd have a little more sympathy for you if you would throw the baseball and swing the bat. Start with that if you want to get people on your side. So there's your baseball reset. Thoughts on all of it in the long commercial-free segment next.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
You know, I had a long day on Sunday. I think I did 45 minutes on camera, and then I did a press conference. I have to say I made one mistake, at least, during that long day. And that was in an effort to make a rhetorical point. I referred to the World Series trophy in a disrespectful way. And I want to apologize for that. There's no excuse for it. I made a mistake. I was trying to make a point, but I should have made it in a more effective way. And again, I want to apologize for it. I will say this. You know, I've awarded 5 World Series trophies. There is no greater pleasure in this job than awarding that trophy. I understand what it means. And again, it was a mistake to say what I said.
Why are you scoffing, Murray? Maz, you guys are scoffing over there.
I mean, he has to apologize for offending a trophy.
Right. I mean, is the trophy upset? Like, it's the most ridiculous thing I've heard.
Well, you should hear the players crying about it.
No, I know. And they're sanctimonious a-holes. Like, that type of stuff I usually expect from the baseball writers, but the players, it's just further proof that they're the biggest babies in professional sports. And they don't really care, because to your point, you know, they were all taking steroids. They've been cheating this whole time. They've tarnished the game. You don't really care that much.
So, look, I feel for Manfred on this. Like, and I'm not telling you he's a great commissioner or anything, but what was he supposed to do? To get to the bottom of the Astros thing, if he didn't have player cooperation, he wasn't going to get anywhere. So how do you get someone to cooperate with you?
And it's not even truly offensive. I'm just like, it's not like he said something bad about Mecca or the Wailing Wall.
Right. No, it's a stupid trophy. That is the worst trophy in sports, by the way. The stupid thing with the flags. Yeah.
No, it's a dumb trophy. He offended the trophy.
It's a dumb trophy. No, but just go back to the whole thing. Like, so players are upset that he didn't sanction other players. Well, okay, first of all, he's not going to get any information on the thing unless he has the cooperation of some players. So he's got to give them a deal. If he decided to go whole hog on the players, none of them would have talked to him. So he wouldn't have found anything out, A. And B, if he just turned around and punished them, they all would have gone crying to Tony Clark, and they would have filed a grievance, and it wouldn't have stood up, because probably what he would have been suspending him for was probably not collectively bargained, or they would have found some sort of loophole. The union would have fought it as they fought everything. So what's he supposed to do? So he gives the players immunity to find out what happened, and he hammers the Astros, and he publicly shames the players, which is about all he can do, I think, practically speaking. And so that's what he does. And then they say, well, you should have taken away the trophy. And he goes, give me a break with the trophy, that piece of metal. And the players go, I fought my whole life for that thing. Guys, he just let you off the hook. He's doing you a favor by not punishing you for all your cheating. God, the players, man.
Oh, no,
go ahead.
He offended the trophy. No. That's crossing the line. Uh-huh. I mean, it's one thing to offend us and the integrity of the game. The trophy? You can offend. It's a good thing these guys don't know what the NHL guys do to the Stanley Cup. Like, they don't have a clue what really happened. Listen, really, it's gotten so bad. The idea that baseball is at a, you know, a crisis on the field, that the game moves too slow and losing viewers, and the players sit there and say, well, I'm not changing. Fine.
And don't you dare say anything about the trophy.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not changing. Well, then how's it going to get better? Is there a more asinine answer to anything than saying, I'm not changing. I'm doing it my way. Okay, great, you lunkhead. Why don't you just destroy the freaking game, you complete jackass? It was not intended to be played this way. Freaking donkeys, all of them donkeys. Donkeys.
There's your baseball reset. We got that. We got the Brady watch. We'll get to your phones here in a second. First, we have to correct a record here.
Yeah, speaking of donkeys.
Yes. Yeah, now we can get to this.
Previous segment, in a mock draft, the Patriots were linked to a quarterback named Eason.
Jacob Eason.
Jacob Eason. Where's he go?
Washington.
Yeah.
And Maz then ripped on him for being Fifi Jr. He used to call Champagne Tony Eason Fifi.
Fifi.
Back in the mid-80s when Tony Eason was your quarterback and John Hanna said he should be wearing a skirt. John Hanna threatened to come off the field in the Super Bowl against the Bears unless Ray Berry took Fifi out of the game because he should be wearing a skirt. So we all know Tony Eason. And when Maz looked up, what's this kid's first name?
Jacob.
We looked up Jacob Eason's father's name. It was, in fact, Tony Eason.
Correct. And then I went out on the Wikipedia page and I saw Tony Eason, New England Patriots. I went, oh, except I looked at it too quickly because it said his father is not, in fact, the Tony Eason who played for the New England Patriots. And I read it quickly and thought it meant that he was. So I missed the word not Tony Eason.
Which, of course, then leads to blowback that I get for some reason, because I don't know why you people can't email either of them. Starting with this, someone want to tell that bonehead Maserati that Jacob Eason is not related to Tony Eason. Jim, can you tell the football guru that is not Eason's son? To Twitter we go. Tell Maz Jacob Eason's father is named Tony and did play football at Notre Dame, but he's not Easy Eason's kid. Please tell Maz that Jacob Eason is not the son of former Pats quarterback Jacob Eason. Hey, Jim, tell Maz that Jacob Eason's father's name is Tony, but it's not former quarterback of the Patriots. He is wrong. And on they go.
Tony Eason, Fifi.
Champagne Tony Eason.
Went to Illinois.
Champagne Tony.
He went to Illinois. So I did see football and, you know, I misread it. So I was...
So does that change your view of the player if you're the future quarterback?
No, I'm still going to call
just having the name.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And just by your father being named Tony Eason, even if he's not the Tony Eason,
I'm still going to call him Fifi.
You still bear the brunt. You still own the stain of Champagne Tony Eason.
Yeah, this guy actually is like 6'5", 230, but I'm still calling him Fifi. As far as I'm concerned, until he proves he can play in the NFL, I'm going to think he's soft. That's how I'm operating.
Okay, no commercials, just an update. The baseball stuff, the Brady watch. We've also continued to monitor the Bruins. Another day closer to the NHL trade deadline and nothing cooking there with the Bees as far as I can tell. When we come back, you'll hear maybe the shrewdest analysis why Tom Brady might be gone. And I don't know if it's the shrewdest, but it's the simplest, and I happen to agree with it. We'll do it right after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.